you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have every reason to have joy. Amen? Thank you for that ministry of music. I'm going to seek through the ministry of the Word now to add to the ministry of Word that's already been given through song. Today there are millions of people around the world that are contemplating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and seeking to understand and explain its significance. But all who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior already believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 said, If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and have believed in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This tells us that if a person denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they cannot be a Christian. They cannot be saved from their sins. When we read the scriptures, we see that the Bible places the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a non-negotiable truth for every person that claims Christianity. If you want to be saved from your sins, you must believe the truths that the Bible teaches about the resurrection. And it is my prayer this morning that I'll be able to show to you these things by God's grace. But before we talk about why it's so important for Jesus to rise again from the dead, both in his body and his spirit, we need to talk a little bit about what Jesus did on the cross. Open up your Bibles with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. If we do not understand the importance of what happened on the cross, we cannot understand the importance of what happened on Resurrection Day either. And as I look at the scriptures, I look at Hebrews chapter 2, I see a very powerful set of verses here about what Jesus did on the cross. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were also their lifetime subject to bondage." There is a lot packed in these two verses. What do these two verses tell us about what Jesus did? First, it tells us that the Son of God became a man in order to bring about our salvation. The verse here says, "For as much or since then as the children being those who are going to believe in God and receive His salvation, for as much as those children have flesh and blood, they have a body, they are physical and spiritual people, He also Himself likewise took part of the same." The Son of God became a man, and that is why we celebrate Christmas, what they call the incarnation of the Son of God, when the Son of God became man in order to save mankind from his sins. And this person that the Son of God became when he was on the earth, we call him Jesus. The Son of God became a man in order to bring about our salvation. Number two, these verses show us that the Son of God became a man in order to destroy the devil, to destroy Satan. This verse says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Because of our sins, we are rebels against God. But we are not the first rebel against God, and we are not the first to sin. Satan is the greatest of all sinners, the first one to ever sin. That person we call Satan. It is He who tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It is He whom Eve first and then Adam believed instead of believing the words of God. He knew, Satan knew, that if he could get Adam and Eve to sin in the garden, that they would be guilty of sin and rebellion against God and that they would have to die. That is why he tempted them. This is why Jesus called Satan a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He's a murderer because he brought about the death of mankind. Now, we are guilty of believing the lies of Satan. We are guilty of our own sins, but it is Satan that instigated it. It is Satan that encourages it even into this day. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested or revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Because we are sinners, we are under the authority and the power of the devil, of Satan. This is our judgment. We are judged by God because of our sin, rightly. We are not His children. We are Satan's children. And this verse tells us that he that commits sin is of the devil. I doubt that there's anybody in here this morning that would want it to be said of them that they're a child of the devil. Sometimes we'll say, off the cuff when we're angry about someone. Sometimes you hear someone say, "That's of the devil," or "That person is of the devil." You say that because you want to emphasize the fact that that person has done something evil. That person is a wicked individual. But 1 John chapter 3 tells us that those that commit sin, they are of the devil. That's why Satan is called the god of this world. That is why the Son of God was revealed and why he became a man. He came to destroy the devil and his authority over us. And how did he do this? He did this through his death. Number three, these verses tell us that the Son of God became a man in order to deliver us. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The Son of God, Jesus, came to deliver us from bondage to sin and death. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he is called the first Adam. He failed. He failed. He listened to Satan. He believed the lie of Satan, overbelieving the word and the goodness of God. And because Adam failed, his sin brought upon himself and upon us the sentence of death, spiritual separation from God, physical death, and eternal punishment. And we have added to that guilt because we too have sinned. Just like that first Adam. However, praise be to God. Jesus, who is called the last Adam, he did not fail. He came from heaven as the Son of God to become a man in order to fulfill perfect obedience in our place and then to suffer on the cross for our sins and for our guilt. And he achieved what he was sent to achieve. He did not fail. The first Adam failed. The second Adam did not fail. And he came in order to provide a way for us to be made right with God, to receive eternal life instead of death, and to have a place in heaven with him instead of eternal punishment. And without Jesus, we are in bondage. We are enslaved to Satan's power. We are enslaved to sin. We are enslaved to death. And it is Jesus Christ alone that sets us free. This verse here in Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. This death sentence hangs over all of mankind. And it hangs over you. You are going to die. I'm going to die. And we're going to die because we're sinners, and the sentence of death hangs over us, not just in our physical body, but the sentence of death forever in separation from God hangs over us because we are sinners. We are afraid of death. How many people have psychological problems today? And if you were to bring around to its source where this comes from, it comes from fear of suffering and fear of death. How many people suffer depression today because of fear of pain and fear of death? Only believers in Jesus Christ do not fear death. Why? They are forgiven of their sins through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And they know that their sins have been forgiven, that they are cleansed. And so that when God the Father sees them, He sees only the blood of His Son that covers them. And they know that when they die, they have a place with God in heaven. Because that is what Jesus Christ accomplished as a man on this earth for us. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you should fear death. And you don't have to fear death. You receive Jesus Christ, and He takes away the fear. That is why Jesus came. Have you received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sins? Have you been delivered from the bondage of sin and death? Do you this morning fear death? Are you right now hearing me a child of God? Or would you have to confess that you were a child of the devil? When we read the Gospels, we see that the cross was not the end for Jesus. We find that on the third day He rose again. And He rose again both in body and spirit. Why did He not just rise again in His spirit? Why is it so important that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, why is it so important that He was raised again in His body? Over the course of 40 days, He appeared numerous times to His disciples. One time He met with a group of over 500 of them who saw Him at the same time. They touched Him. They ate with Him. They listened to His teaching. They watched Him ascend to heaven before their eyes. Why is believing this part of the gospel story so important? Why do you have to believe this in order to be saved from your sins and be a Christian? Why is it so important that we confess that Jesus rose again from the dead with His body as well as His soul? Well, there are at least three reasons for this that I can see in Scripture. Number one, Jesus rose again in both body and soul in order to fulfill prophecy. The Messiah, the Savior that was to come, had to rise again from the dead. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Apostle Peter stood and preached to the Jews that their Messiah had come, that this Savior who was promised had come, he pointed to Psalm 16, and he pointed to the prophecy of the Savior, the Messiah, rising from the dead. And this is what Peter says. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised Him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He, David, foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Acts chapter 2. Jesus also prophesied that he would rise again from the dead. And in John 2, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews knew what he meant when he said that, because when he died on the cross, they sought to be ready and put soldiers at his tomb. If Jesus did not rise again in his body, he is not the promised Messiah. If Jesus did not rise again, he was also not from God, because his prophecy failed to be fulfilled. But I have news for you this morning. He is the Messiah, and he rose again from the dead, which is why we have gathered here this morning. The Messiah must also rule and reign over the earth as a man. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament regarding the Messiah ruling and reigning over the earth, and these things have yet to be fulfilled. The Savior must not only come and suffer and die, he must also come to rule and reign. And before Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples asked him when it would be that he would return and set up his kingdom on the earth. And Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." It's not for you to know when this is going to take place. It is going to take place, but it's not for you to know when. Then they watched the risen Jesus ascend up to heaven, and they're standing there, and they're amazed at watching God the Son rise up in his body before their eyes into heaven. And as they're standing there dumbfounded, two angels come and speak to them and say, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus would return and receive his kingdom in the same way that he left them, as a man. And in his first coming, the Son of God became a man to save us from our sins. Then he rose again from the dead and will one day return both as king and judge. And he will do that as a man. If Jesus did not rise again, both body and soul, then he is not the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus had to rise again from the dead. And praise God that he did. A second reason why Jesus had to rise again from the dead, both body and soul, is that God the Father raised the Son from the dead in both body and soul to show to us that he accepted the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. Isaiah 53 tells us about the Savior that God the Father would look upon him and he would see the travail of his soul, and God's wrath would be satisfied. The Father showed to mankind that he accepted his Son's sacrifice by raising him from the dead and restoring his Son to his right hand in heaven. Jesus is now the exalted Lord. And when he comes again to rule and judge, all will worship him. And God the Father raised his Son up, both body and soul, so that we would have proof that that sacrifice of his Son was accepted. Philippians chapter 2 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, the Son of God humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God, upon accepting this sacrifice, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus had to rise again, both body and soul, thirdly, because he had to prove that his work on the cross was sufficient to bring complete salvation to mankind forever. His resurrection showed that he really did achieve total victory over sin, death, and Satan. Just as Jesus rose again from the dead, both body and soul, the Bible promises to us that everyone who receives the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, they too will rise again, both body and soul. Do you realize this morning that salvation through Jesus Christ is just not the salvation of your spirit? It's the salvation of your body and your soul. It is total salvation. Jesus didn't just die to wipe away your guilt so your spirit could go to heaven. Jesus took away your sins so that he might save your whole being, your whole person, body and soul. And when he rose again from the dead with his body, he was what the Bible calls the firstborn, the first to rise. And we will rise in our bodies, these sinful bodies that have been plagued by sin and under bondage to Satan. Those bodies are going to be raised up and Jesus will change them and make them pure and holy and prepared to be with God forever so that we will be human beings forever with God. Totally saved human beings. Not just in our spirit, but in our body as well. Before Jesus went to the cross, he said this about Satan. He said, "The prince of this world is coming. And he has no claim on me." Satan had no claim on Jesus because Jesus had no sin. Satan has a claim on you this morning. And because he has a claim on you, you must face death and separation from God. The only way to break that claim is to receive the sacrifice of the risen Son of God for you. And Satan's claim is no more. No one whom Jesus saves will face eternal death. No one that he saves will go to hell. For Jesus has the keys. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." In other words, I am the eternal God. I am he that lived and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. That means if you believe on me, there is no hell for you. There is no eternal death for you. Because I have had victory over death and hell. I hold the keys, Jesus says. So if Jesus did not rise again from the dead, both body and spirit, then we have no proof of his victory. If Jesus did not rise again, then we have no hope of eternal salvation. If Jesus did not rise both body and soul, then he did not achieve total victory over sin, death, and Satan. And if he didn't, we certainly aren't going to have that victory either. So what about you this morning? Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, rose again from the dead? Have you received him as your God and Savior? Believe on him and receive him for salvation, that complete salvation, which extends not only to the soul, but also to the body for all of eternity. Believe the gospel. This is the good news, that Jesus Christ gained the victory and conquered sin and death and Satan. So those of you who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning, by placing your faith in His death and resurrection, you will be able to say with the Apostle Paul, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? There is no victory over the Christian. Death has no sting, and the grave has no victory over the Christian. This is why the Christian celebrates Easter. Because all Christians are able to say, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that is the gospel.